This is SBS Spice.
If you want to watch this interview instead, go to YouTube and search for SBS Spice. Find us on Instagram at SBS Spice and never miss an update.
What is caste? Caste is notions of purity. When the Indian or the South Asian travels anywhere, they're going to take caste with them. If you look at the culinary history of India, you will find a deep void in when you look at food that is defined by caste.
Caste doesn't just decide where you live or who you marry. It decides what you eat, who you eat with. It lingers in the kitchen and at the table, in recipes passed down, in meals never shared. Come Eat With Me is artist Sri Vamsi Matta's invitation to break bread differently. It's a performance piece that unpacks the relationship, or lack thereof, between caste and food. The Bangalore-based artist is currently in Australia. It's his first time, and he's in the studio with me. In this conversation, we'll talk about what changes when we sit at the same table. Vamsi, first of all, welcome to SBS Spice. You've said naming it Dalit food is an explicitly political act. What does it mean to call it that?
Firstly, hi, Dilpreet.
Hi.
It's lovely to meet you.
So nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me
here. Of course.
I think the first thing, you know, the multiple misconceptions, you know, or lack of information, people think like Dalit food is a style, is a cuisine. And if you read through enough about it, what you get to is there is no Dalit cuisine. It's It is bunch of techniques. It's tiny revolutions in the kitchen. It's, you know, people working against class, caste, you know, economics, and trying to find, you know, the best way to feed their family, their community.
Yeah.
And it is a revolution, because if you look at the culinary history of India, you'll find all kinds of cuisines being documented.
Yeah.
But you'll find a deep void in when you look at food that is defined by caste.
Yeah.
But as you said, you know, caste defines everything in India. Mm. And of course, food, what you get to eat, what you don't get to eat, and what you get to eat without consequences. Caste
Correct.
Decides that for you. So it is a political act to name it, as much as it is a political act to call myself that, that I am a Dalit person, I'm a Dalit actor, Dalit activist, or whatever, you know, because these people were disenfranchised, underrepresented, and have met nothing but violence, met with nothing but violence, and violence of all sorts. So It is a political act to just exist.
And to share a meal.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
I was born into Sikhism, although I don't practice a particular religion. And there is this idea of sitting on the floor together, having a free meal. It still doesn't escape caste. You will find Sikh temples that are particularly for lower caste communities. So it's a very intrinsic part of our so-called society. When you thought of your show, Come Eat With Me, what was your first instinct? What did you want to do with it?
It starts with that question, right? The reason I've named it Come Eat With Me is the question, if I ask people to come eat with me, will they come? That was the question. I didn't have an answer then. And in order to, you know, again, going back to the idea of, you know, what does it mean to sit together and eat? If you look at anti-caste traditions, community eating was, you know, introduced as a way to break barriers. Yeah. People have different ideas about it. Oh, will this work? Will this not work? Is this the way to go forward? But I have rooted mine in that tradition of someone called Sahodaran Ayyappan, who started, you know, doing community meals, inter-caste dining, as people would call it. So that was my thought. I was like, okay, this is what, you know, I wish to do. That was like the first thing that I've decided, that it is going to be a communal eating experience. And then the story started coming in, you know. But the first thing that I knew about my show was that I'm going to call people in and we're going to eat together. And it started with the question, will they come or will they not? And as an exploration of that question, my piece sort of expanded itself in time and space.
And people have come.
Yeah, they have.
And I was reading one of your interviews in which you've said that a lot of young Dalit folks feel seen after watching your show. The exact quote being, I can tell that they feel seen, that they found a piece of themselves in the performance, but I can also see the weight of their pain. How do you hold space for that grief and recognition while also making sure joy and nourishment is part of the experience? Because it is about your fabulous chicken curry as well at the same time.
When I started, you know, like pandemic was a time where I lost all, I'm a live performing artist, right? Pandemic sort of took that away from me. I lost all my gigs, my teaching, my live performances. And that is when I started, you know, going back to the paper. I started like, okay, what does it mean for me to perform in this time? And as I was writing, what I've realized is I have not seen myself on stage. It took me a long time to find myself on stage. I saw one performance when I was almost 30 years old. That is when I said, you know what, this is finally, I've been represented, not completely, but a part of me. And as I was writing these stories, and these were stories that my dad told, my mom told, my grandparents have told me, that were coming into my performance, I saw that as an act of being seen. You know, because I know that I'm going to tell these stories and people are going to hear, listen to me and see me. So for me, it was a moment of being visible. Mm. Yeah. And then as I was doing these, you know, I believe that my work is in continuum. You know, I don't exist in isolation. Previous anti-caste work feeds into mine and mine feeds into someone else. So when I say I felt seen and I've seen, the audience felt seen is because of that.
Yeah.
Because primarily, more than the performer, I'm the audience.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm saying these out loud, I can see people seeing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is the first act of feeling seen. And I've interacted with multiple. You know, this is the Australian premiere will be my 40th show.
Mm-hmm.
For the past 39 shows, I've seen people in the audience from my community who are sitting and listening to me, and the weight of it is something that I can feel, you know, because at the end of the show, they would come, they would talk to me, they would hug me, you know, people would break down.
Yeah.
It was good and bad at the same time. Good because I'm able to share this with someone. It's a very emotional moment because I've not seen these kind of spaces exist, especially in a contemporary urban setup. And that's a great thing. But the sad thing is, that you don't have spaces. You know, the same thing that makes you feel happy makes you feel sad. Like, there are no spaces where people could do that, sit and listen and to know that, you know, these don't exist.
Mm.
I'm so glad and so overwhelmed that this exists.
Yeah.
That should not be the, you know, thing. So hopefully, the future, more artists are doing great things, not just in India, across the world, who are bringing these conversations to the forefront, and not just in a simple fashion, but in artistic ways,
yeah.
in ways that you rehumanize these bodies, which is a big part, because oftentimes when caste is spoken about or research or art is created, especially from dominant caste locations, it is often looked at from the lens of pity, you know, sad, you know, so much has happened to them. And they forgot the fact that they're humans. And me telling my stories in the way, you know, going back to your question, yes, of course, there is the hardship, the institutional structural violence, but there's also the way that these communities have lived on. You know, people say that resilience and memory are our biggest gifts.
Yeah.
Yes, there is hardship, but there's also joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That is my way of rehumanizing in witnesses, with witnesses, and that is my way of of dealing with that, of showing a complete picture. Mm. You know, we are complete human bodies, because only time when people talk about caste is when there's brutalization, you know, but there's more than that.
Yeah.
More than that.
100%. Well, I hope you get to your 400th show, but congratulations on your 40th show. Yeah.
This is SBS Spice.
Listeners, before we started recording, I was telling Vamsi how little caste is talked about in Australia. And I would go so far as saying in the South Asian diaspora, it wasn't really a topic until maybe 5 years ago, maximum. And there's this idea that it's an Indian, quote-unquote, problem. But a lot has been written and speculated that when South Asians migrate, they export caste with them. You've performed in the US, you're performing in Australia. As an artist, is that something that you want to explore, how caste functions within the South Asian diaspora, and does that inform your work or your performance?
No, absolutely. It informs how I engage, because my show is also built in a way that it interacts with the audience who are sitting right across me. So it changes from venue to venue, city to city. The languages, the culture, they inform me. Yeah. I'm very much interested in that question, because we need to find ways of how it engages. Because even in India, you know, the conversation is, we've been having conversation about caste for a long time, but it is stagnant in a way that it is spoken only in one kind. A lot of artists, thanks to social media, are able to put their work out, have conversation, be in conversation, in understanding each other's context. Because when we talk about caste, it's like, you know, there's a saying in India, like every 50 kilometers, the culture changes, the language changes, the food changes. So every 50 kilometers, the way caste engages also changes, how caste practices, you know. So the whole idea of discourse is that caste is a monolithic identity, but it is not. Like, my caste experiences are different from my parents, you know, and even my brother, who's 6 years younger to me, we've lived in the same house for 15 years, but our experience with caste have been extremely different, you know. So to know what happens when the caste travels, like Dr. B.R. Ambedkar talks about, you know, when the Indian or the South Asian travels anywhere, they're going to take caste with them. And, you know, there are pretty examples about what caste does, you know, especially in diaspora. You have the Cisco case in the US, the temple building, and, you know, Hindu American Foundation. Like, there are things, enough examples to understand what caste does when it travels.
Yeah.
But what I'm much more interested is what happens after it travels, you know? Because there are, like, for example, when you look at how caste is transformed in the indentured labor communities that have gone to different parts of the world, like the Fiji, the Mauritius, you know, the Caribbean. It tells me ways of what is possible, what is not possible. You know, it tells me, you know, what do these communities do, either to break or, you know, keep it together. So, and also because it is not just interacting with each other, like the diaspora, but also interacts with outside of it. Like caste interacts with race, caste interacts with indigeneity, like all of this. And, you know, sometimes they work together, but sometimes they also work against each other. I'm deeply interested in that, because I think there's one or two things to learn from that.
Mm-hmm. And in your performance, after you cook such a lovely meal for your audiences, you eat with them.
Yeah.
Talk to our listeners about what is the significance of eating together, especially as a Dalit artist. For someone listening who might not know, as you said earlier in the podcast, which I loved, it's like tiny revolutions happening. Talk to our listeners about what breaking bread together means for you.
So caste, at the end of the day, what is caste? Caste is notions of purity. Yeah. Caste defines who is pure and who is impure, who is polluted and who is not. Yeah. So caste defines who gets to give you food, whose food you can eat. So what it defines is that people from these communities, formerly known as untouchable communities, whatever they touch, it gets polluted. Like, I'll give an example. This is a story from Dr. B.R. Ambedkar. When he was a young boy in the school, he would sit in one corner of the classroom where rest of the students are not sitting. And if the teacher would ask young Ambedkar to write something on the board, Ambedkar would walk from the corner of the room to the blackboard. Before he could do that, these kids would run and they would hide their tiffin boxes, their lunch boxes, because they were scared that Ambedkar's shadow would fall on the food and it would get polluted.
Mm.
Yeah. Now imagine this and spread across everything that people touch. You know, water, food, you know, people you
each
love.
Other.
Everything, you know. Like I speak Telugu. Telugu is my mother tongue. People use the word mailu. Mailu is you know, dirty, you know, pollution, you know. So they will wash it off with various things. So when I said, you know, I'll eat with people, the things that sort of ran in my mind is, what is going to happen? Not only people are going to sit and eat together, but my skin is going to touch against other people's skin. The food that I cooked, that my shadow, my air, the water that I touched, the spices that I've sprinkled, they come from me.
Mm.
What does that mean for, you know? And, you know, multiple artists talk about this, especially Dalit artists. You know, if everyone is impure, what does purity even mean? Yeah. So, yeah. And when you're eating food, your vulnerabilities are down, you know, because you're concentrating on eating, especially after a show for 2 hours. I'm talking about food and people are hungry by the end of it. So by the end of it, there are just a bunch of hungry people who are trying to eat food. That is such an equalizing thing. And
yeah.
I still get goosebumps even after so many shows that, you know, I just love doing it. And it's great.
Mm.
It's working out and it's, I have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
To know that I have polluted many people.
I love that, Vamsi. Thank you so much for sharing that. Excited to see your performance in real life. But of course, before this interview, I was just looking for imagery, looking for visuals. And on the table during your performance always sits a photograph of B.R. Ambedkarji. Why was it important for you to give him a seat?
I'm here because of him. Yeah. Yes, my parents played an important role in shaping how I look at the world. But Ambedkar fought for us, as we would call him Baba Sahib, like father figure. He made it a big part of the Constitution of India that we get what we deserved, access to education, you know, affirmative action.
Yeah.
So because of him, my parents got education and I got education. I'm able to speak this language with this confidence. So I'm here because of him.
Mm.
And it's important. And all my ancestors are important. So if you look at that table, yes, Ambedkar is there, but there's also my mother, my other cultural teachers, the books that I've read to create this piece. All of it is there.
Mm.
So it's an altar that I've created. And to tell that this is where I come from, this is my cultural heritage.
Mm. Vamsi, congratulations on Come Eat With Me. 40 shows looks wonderful. Listeners, you can find details in our show notes. I'm really honored to have this really powerful and beautiful conversation with you, Vamsi. Thank you so much for joining me and Jai Bhim.
Jai Bhim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.